Welcome, everybody, to Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Carolyn is amazing. She's a doctor, she's a naturopath, she's an herbalist, she's an acupuncturist. She's going to tell you exactly what she would do if she were in your shoes. Think of a person who has devoted more time to helping people's health than Dr. Carolyn Dean. She can make a huge difference as you listen to her words of wisdom. We know she's ahead of time because she is the doctor of the future. Welcome, Dr. Carolyn Dean.
Welcome, Ginny. Ginny, where did we ever get that? The children. When did they join the team?
Oh, gosh. I think that was way back in the beginning. Way, way, way back. You know, probably 2013, something like that. They've been with us for a long time.
Well, they should be growing up. You know, we I don't know, but remember when Bob would yell at me for saying yay because it was so silly. And you know what I'm thinking of is in New Zealand, the guys that and women that will do that chant, that warrior chant. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there was someone, a young woman who just got invested into the parliament there, and she's a native New Zealand, and she did this war chant as her opening speech. YouTube. I'm just looking up if I can find New Zealand war chant and the name of it. Haka, something like that. Unforgettable emotion war chant, folk song. So it's Haka, Haka. And yeah, I was thinking of the kids, if they're grown up now. I mean, should they still be just going, yay? It's time for war, Jenny. We're in the middle of a war. And yeah. One of our tools is magnesium, the missing link to total health. This book is awesome. Here's a testimonial from a practitioner. Rebecca writes, while reading Dr. Dean's new book, Magnesium, the Missing Link to Total Health, a Bible verse kept coming to mind, which reads, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, for thou hast rejected knowledge. That's Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. This book is priceless. It is saving lives, and I am grateful to have this opportunity to share this knowledge with my customers. And Rebecca owns Viva H2O. VivaH2O.com. So thank you very much. And she writes more about how she's been grateful for the products, amazing results with the minerals. The new book's is helping her with some needed reminders. I mean, that's the thing. I forget I know or we know. There's a question that came in today, for example. It's a question about AFib, and let me find it here. I'm sort of jumping. Somebody says, do I have a name? Leslie says, I have been using your magnesium product for a while now, so that's Remag. I started after I had some atrial flutter and maybe AFib. I'm 65. In the meantime, my doctor wanted me to go on a statin, but in an effort to lower it naturally, one of the supplements that was suggested was omega-3 fish oil. I was taking three caps at almost 3.9 grams. So when I'm reading, well, anything, I make notes. So I know that that's a very high dose. I mean, the RDA for total omegas is 1100 to 1600. Our omega-3 for two capsules is 1100. So I don't go above that. So then she said, I recently had a terrible episode of AFib and ended up calling an ambulance. I had also had some wine earlier, dinner out with friends. My cardiologist thinks the alcohol with fish oil was the perfect storm. I know alcohol can be a trigger for many, but I was amazed when I saw several studies showing a connection between AFib and omega-3. So she's saying, just curious your thoughts on this. And of course, I won't touch omega-3 anymore. But then she jokes, and you shouldn't joke about this. Can't guarantee I won't have the occasional glass of wine. So why would you drop omega-3 and not drop wine? But as I said, it's too high. She says, I will continue to take your mag as I know it has helped me. She says, I was doing so great and this sent me back a bit fear-wise. I actually hope it was the fish oil because the other alternative is too scary that it could have just come on for no rhyme or reason. Thanks for your time, Leslie. So, what we know about omega-3s is yes, taking high doses may increase a person's risk of developing a type of irregular heart rhythm called AFib. Patients who took more than 1 gram per day had an increased risk, and the more they took, the more the risk. So, yeah, it's, I mean, that is documented as an I. And as I said, we don't go into the high dose. See what happens with any high dose supplement is maybe they've done some studies just using that one supplement and said, oh yeah, it does this or that, or you should take high doses. It, a little bit is good, then you should take more. All those, various suggestions that can get online. Whereas, what we're doing with our formulas is trying to get people to take a balance of all the various nutrients. Like Leslie doesn't mention whether or not she's on potassium. Well, that's going to be important for the heart. And, was she dehydrated? Does she take enough sea salted water? And then I went to my heart health book. And this is something that Leslie should get through her membership with us in customer service. What are the triggers for atrial fibrillation? And I found 33 triggers. And it's not meant to, be fear-based, but it's meant to give people some understanding of what the triggers could be, like low potassium. And the 33, there's air pollution, alcohol, calcium, coronary artery disease, dehydration, dental infections, diabetes, electrolyte imbalance, gas, bloating, and hiatus hernia, gluten and glutamate sensitivity, heart attack itself, abnormal heart valves, high blood pressure, heart structural changes. The holidays, too much wine drinking, obviously. I'm not saying Leslie had too much wine, but there are probably more than just the wine and the omega-3s that threw her into AFib. Number 17 is infections, inflammation, lung disease, medications, intense physical activity, obesity. And then comes a potassium deficiency, exposure to stimulants, sick sinus syndrome, sleep apnea, stress, surgical procedures, high sugar diet. So was there dessert involved? An overactive thyroid gland, travel, Vitamin D because it pulls too much calcium into the body and yeast overgrowth. So what I meant with these triggers was to give people some information about, oh, okay, then I won't drink alcohol and I'll take some potassium and I'll make sure I drink water when I drink alcohol, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the way I look at these situations and people who will come to us and say they took a high dose of something or other and it threw them off. The only high dose supplement that we recommend, of course, is magnesium. That's all there is to it. So I dove right into that question. Go back to our testimonials. We had the book testimonial, and then from customer service, a great product. It was worth it to buy another bottle. My health is improving. Someone on Amazon says I've been taking Remag for a month now, and from the first day, my poor sleep has drastically improved. Also, my 50-year problem with constipation is gone. Now, people will say, well, it's not supposed to be a laxative. The thing of it is, the bowels respond to peristaltic muscle contractions that pushes the digested food out of the body. And if your muscles aren't moving properly because you're magnesium deficient, you can get constipation. So you don't need a laxative type of magnesium. You need the Remag to make your muscles work properly. And he or she continues, I'm looking forward to seeing improvements in my thyroid problems also once I add Remite to the mix. So she's already learned about Remite, so that's great. And she says, I expect to be taking these supplements for the rest of my life and will try to get others to use them as well. And then, is this a different one? Yes, yeah, some other input. Can't express into words how amazing this customer support team truly is. Blown away by your interactions with the customers, even in time. Oh, this is Megan talking, Ginny. Megan is talking about her team and how she is quite amazed. And what we have to do, the FDA has us log all the input we have with customers in case there's a complaint. So Megan sees what's going on and sees all the incredibly satisfied customers that weave through. And once people who say lightning fast response, very helpful and kind, on and on. I need what else? Support was great. Each one gets named in turn with the various customers. How wonderful they are! There's just too many to a couple dozen here, it looks like. So incredible customer service. Thank you so much, everybody on the team. Really appreciate it. And a practitioner case history. And now what? So a practitioner has an 87-year-old woman currently on 2.5 teaspoons Remag, 1.25 Remite, 1 teaspoon pico potassium, and also a 1400 milligram tablet of potassium recommended by her doctor, also on pico zinc and Flora Revive. And she's been on these supplements for 3 years. She's been doing very well. She wanted to reduce some of her medications. Now she's on Synthroid as well as low dose, well, a beta blocker, low dose, and low dose blood pressure drug. And then recently she suddenly developed AFib and painful edema in her legs. Her doctor wanted her meds doubled. And that's, their immediate reaction to anything. He said she had a leaky valve in her heart and needs more meds. He will not hear of anything less or otherwise. This is normally a very healthy 87-year-old. The doctor said she was drinking too much water, reduced her to 4 to 6 cups a day. And our practitioner said it could be possible, after doing so well up till now, that she could react to the meds she's on. She asked her doctor if she could try eliminating one or two, but he said 1,000 times no. So I'm saying this is an incredible case report because people usually start weaning off meds with their doctor's support after about a year. So it's possible that her body is trying to dump the drugs and this is a detox, or it's just plain drug toxicity. The unnecessary Synthroid can cause AFib, or the potassium pill could, since she's likely getting enough with picopotassium. And we can't tell the patient to wean off her meds, but it's certainly what I would do. And it's quite frightening that her doctor won't even consider this approach. Very sad. So that's what we're up against, is people are getting better. The doctors don't know how to take care of them. So, Ginny, let me pull you in. Do you have anything to say with what I've put forth so far?
Well, I do have something to say that's not quite of a medical nature, but I will comment and say that I think your whole presentation has been very good. A
Thank you.
lot of people, Karen Hampton said, my mail carrier told me last week that her elderly mother was having AFib, and I shared some Remag and Remag balm with her and told her to rub it over her mother's heart, as Dr. Dean had talked about. So that's really what's so great about our community of listeners is that they really get into action. They don't just stand there and say, "Oh, well, I wish I knew how to help you. It's too bad." So Karen, thank you for just being really proactive because that's absolutely what it takes. And the other thing is, Sonia asked, would straight Remag help with fatty liver if it was rubbed on the body over that area?
I don't know. Remag is going to help anything in the body. It helps to the detoxification pathways. The thing with fatty livers, the sugars, the medications that people are on, but once you have fatty liver, then any of the products will help. If there's a problem with taking it by mouth, yes, you would definitely try to get it on the person. But I don't have any reports of people doing the Remag topically and telling us that their fatty liver improved. So I
Right.
can't say. I mean,
Very
what
good.
can we say?
Very good. Well, it's not going to hoit, but it's certainly not going to be the, yeah, it's not like the objective. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I also want to welcome our new customer service rep, Alethea Easterling, who's with us tonight on the chat line. So, Alethea, thanks for joining us. And everybody will get a chance to start talking to Alethea soon. I think she's almost completed her training. Maybe you'll let me know in the chat line. And then she'll be on the phones and she'll just be another amazing person that you'll be talking to when you call into our wonderful customer service team. But something else that we just have to share, Carolyn, which is very muy importante, is Melody Rose has single-handedly managed to wrestle 2,500 people to subscribe to this podcast channel, and she has got people to come on the show, bring their friends, hit that subscribe button. And so she's made her initial goal of 2,500 subscribers. I want to thank her for doing that and being consistent. And now she's going for 3,000. She says, should we go for three? So we're like, yeah, let's go for three.
Oh, that's
So
fun.
if you're watching the show, if you're listening to the podcast and you download it during the week or it hits your podcast software, just be sure to pop onto YouTube sometime hit the Dr. Dean channel, Dr. Carolyn Dean, MD, ND, and then hit that subscribe button so you can support everybody and what they're doing. Everybody's super excited. Even Leon, what are you doing here, you crazy guy? Leon's here. He's super excited. So thanks everybody for supporting us in our goal. Okay, Carolyn, what do we want to talk about next?
Okay, so we had just two questions today, and because people, make the effort to send in their questions, we try to do them at the top of the show. And this is a woman, 67 years old. Now she's going through treatments. She's had stem cell therapy. She's been on, looks like chemotherapy, but a lot of prednisone and corticosteroids. So she says she's concerned about the steroids and what they're doing to her bones. We know they thin the bones, but she's afraid of calcium. She's read a book, Death by Calcium, by Dr. Levy, and yeah, I don't like calcium myself much. So she's wondering what I would do in her situation. She does not eat much dairy. She's purchased Recalcia, our picometer calcium. She says she's hoping the extra calcium will not leave calcium deposits. So I personally would look at my diet with the chronometer, see how much calcium I'm getting in my diet, and if I'm not getting my 600 milligrams a day, make that up with Recalcia. 1 teaspoon of Recalcia is 300 milligrams. And she says she's taking plenty of Remag and her D3K2 from us. And she says she also does weight bearing exercise regularly. Yeah, no, 67, bones are important. And I guess I didn't know if it would come up in the show about bones, but I on here it goes, Ginny. On Saturday at the farm store, someone backed up into me and I tripped over them, crashed down on my left knee and my right elbow. Immediately went into a bit of shock, but my grandson was there, grabbed my water, mineral water bottle, and chugged that down, and then I was fine. But man, I was so amazed. The bruising from my elbow crash goes from my biceps, well, it's almost up to the top of my right arm, down to my knuckles. My arm is blue with blood bruising, and it's painful. Whoa, I just moved it. So what did I think? And I said at the time, I said, a woman of 75 with a crashing fall like that should have broken several bones, and I didn't. And that is because I'm pretty darn sure I've been taking all these formulas for all these years, and I take the calcium when I'm not eating dairy, and 1 or 2 teaspoons, and then I'll stop it, if I just feel, oh, that's enough calcium, and I might muscle test it. We talk about the O ring, O dash R I N G muscle testing with your fingers. I do think we have to get practiced with doing some sort of testing so that you know about taking these supplements, because we can't really depend on studies or whatever. Look at this. Was it Leslie taking all that omega-3 fatty acid, which her body, may not require or like? And now Debbie, it is asking about calcium, how much to take. I mean, it's a big question for people. But what I do know from my experimental fall is that my bones are strong and they're not going to break if I happen to get tripped up. So, what do you say to that, Ginny?
Well, I think it's very interesting because I think you had a friend that had a fall that did break their elbow
Right.
or shoulder or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
that's right. Yep.
of a similar age and even somebody who's committed to natural health. So we can honestly say from our very cursory examination of these facts that you better be having a bunch of REMAG and all of the minerals. And I'm sure that REMite is very important for bones because it's got zinc, very important for bones, and also boron. And we don't talk about boron a lot as far as the feature of REMite, but it is very important for bone health. And so just all the time that you've invested in taking good care of your bones, and you do walk a lot and all those other things, but without REMAG and REMite and the other liquid minerals, I don't think the outcome would have been the same, as is evidenced by the other episode that you were able to witness this weekend, right?
Right. Yeah, the weekend before, my friend tripped over a kukui nut on a walk and smashed down and broke her elbow, lower arm, and upper arm in three places. That would just be horrible.
Wow, three places. Yeah, that's a pretty extensive situation. So
Yeah.
very, very grateful that you are in such great shape, Carolyn. It's fantastic.
Right. Yeah, and I just wish more and more people knew about the importance of the balancing of the right nutrients, and the right nutrients are ones that are properly absorbed. And we'll just keep plugging away. And it's interesting, a lot of our people tell us when they start getting benefits from our formula, says, I'm going to pass this on to everybody I know. And that's what we have to do. So we truly appreciate that. Truly.
Yeah.
Any questions before I leap into this week's blog?
Let me just look and confirm that there isn't any there a lot of folks aren't interacting here. I might have missed it on the chat line. But I think we're okay, and also okay on Zoom. All right, we shall press on.
Okay. Yes, one more thing. I do carry a 3 pound weight with me when I walk, and I switch hands and do, biceps curls, triceps, whatever exercises. So that's important too, a little bit of weightlifting.
Okay,
Okay.
let me just say sorry that I missed this. I hadn't scrolled down far enough. Let me just ask a couple of these questions.
Oh, good.
Okay, so from Jimmy Johnson, hello, Dr. Dean. Your book, The Magnesium Miracle, changed my life after taking 600 to 900 milligrams of REMAG per day for 3 months. I'm not exhausted anymore or constipated all the time. However, I still have an extremely tight scalp. I often suffer from tension headaches. Should I just be patient and keep taking REMAG? Might there be another reason for my tight scalp?
I would add potassium. I would add picopotassium. And with the scalp itself, you put some REMAG in the palm of your hand and rub it through your head. Do a head massage with the magnesium. You would do it on any part of your body. And rather than doing the REMAG lotion, do the straight REMAG and the picopotassium. I think that's what I would be doing.
Okay, very good. Deb Valeri says, I have been on REMAG, REMite, PicoSilver, Realign, D3, K2, and 4 Revive. I've been having digestive issues. I recently had a MAP stool test, a very low elastase and lipase, which are pancreatic enzymes. What would you take if you had low pancreatic enzymes, Carolyn?
I would probably take pancreatic enzymes. And I can't say what brand. I mean, I haven't had that great results with taking enzymes, but if it's low on testing, you have digestive problems, and pancreatic enzymes and hydrochloric acid can be very helpful. But if you've been on REMAG, your hydrochloric acid should be okay. Maybe just some apple cider vinegar. A teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and some water before a meal can help with digestion. But yes, I don't think people routinely need pancreatic enzymes, but you could do the experiment and check it out.
Okay, now what's the thing that you always have recommend in the past? Two things come to mind. One is you talk about eating pineapple. What's that?
Well, pineapple and papaya, they have natural enzymes. If you look at some enzyme products, they will say enzymes derived from pineapple and papaya.
Okay.
And I've said, jokingly, but in truth, that when I've gone on one or two cruises I've gone on, I won't eat dessert. I'll just eat papaya and pineapple and help. Helps me digest all the food I've been eating.
Okay. And what about I think you used to say something about Zypan or some kind of a
Right. Yes,
used to carry it, didn't you, in your purse?
yeah. And I don't, yeah, that's a good point. I don't seem to need that anymore. Maybe things have sorted themselves out. Zypan, is that a standard? Yeah, it's a standard processed pancreatic enzyme. Look at you remembering that. And you know, Ginny, it's interesting because every once in a while I'll think of a symptom I used to have. Like when I was a kid, I used to have bleeding nose. I'd have nosebleeds. And the other day, I don't know if I banged my nose or whatever. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't do that anymore. And that's the vitamin C reset caps. Well, no, vitamin C. What is their whole C reset
Yeah, whole C
capsules?
reset. Yeah.
Yeah, they will heal your capillaries so you don't bruise and you don't have nosebleeds. And I've said many times my yeast overgrowth symptom was getting staphylococcal nasal boils when I had too much yeast. And I got the staphylococcal boils when I immediately when I started being in the hospital during my medical training. We would do a day or so in the hospitals, even in maybe second year. So yeast will kind of cooperate with staph, and you'll get the staph infections. And I haven't had them since I started using Fluorevive. So all these things, they just sort of fade away as you're taking these, this is balance of formulas, because it's all balanced. Everything is synergistically organized. I planned it all, Ginny. Where are you?
I said, I believe it. You're quite amazing and inventive that way. So it is entirely possible that Dr. Dean planned this whole thing, just so everybody knows. Just so everybody
Yeah.
knows.
And just think, if I didn't have this horrible magnesium deficiency problem, none of us would be here today.
That's right. That's true. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say? Well, in Christianity, they say your mess is your message. So there you
Well,
go. There you
all
go.
right.
Okay. Linda wanted to know what is the O-ring testing, and that's just muscle testing. You can look it up on YouTube, Linda. I'll post a video here on the chat. Okay, Carolyn, press on with your topic, please.
Right. This week's blog is titled "Antidepressants Are 30% Effective," and that's true, and that's scary, considering how many people are depressed, and the most they can hope for from their doctors is getting an antidepressant that doesn't work. And what I did in this blog was gave some information from my Death by Modern Medicine book. I find myself going to that book all the time now, because back when I wrote the first edition in 2005, I had all this information in that everybody's now saying, oh my goodness, did you know that the studies aren't We can't trust the scientific studies. Oh my gosh, did you know the big pharma is making so much money on these drugs, and they're paying the FDA to 50% of the FDA's funding is from drug companies to oversee to oversee the passing of these drugs, or the acceptance of these drugs by the FDA. So it's a real botched effort. It's bribery and corruption right in front of you. So anyway, I wrote all this stuff, what is it now, 20 years ago. And now it's only now that the world is catching up even a little bit. And I� just talk about the percentage of women taking antidepressants is higher in America than any other country. And there are warning labels on these drugs about suicidal thoughts. And, what I used to say about Prozac, it's like when someone is depressed, they don't act. But it's almost like Prozac started to make people more action oriented, and they acted on their suicidal thoughts. So it's very, it's scary to think that so many of the suicides now, or even the mass suicides, mass killings, can be related to antidepressants. So I go on about children are three times more likely to be prescribed antidepressants in the US than in Europe. And then that the Government Accountability Office discovered that approximately one third of all foster children are on at least one psychiatric drug. And then I wrote this blog because I came across a 2024 article published by the Epoch Times titled "Overprescribed: Colon Suicides Haunt the Dubious Approval of Antidepressants." So I'm saying this provides very depressing news about antidepressants. A number of case histories were highlighted in this article, and one of the stories was about a woman who had painful withdrawal symptoms each time she tried to wean off her antidepressants, because she would have I think she would have suicidal symptoms. So she wanted to get off her antidepressants, but then she'd get migraines, tremors, burning pain sensations in her nerves, dark thoughts. And her partner said her teeth were grinding down, her toes were curled. And so I said, these are all magnesium deficiency symptoms. And it's quite possible. Drugs like Prozac, they're fluoride drugs, and the fluoride in these drugs can be broken down in the gut by intestinal bacteria. The fluoride binds with magnesium and makes it unavailable, so that the side effects of a lot of these drugs can be magnesium deficiency symptoms. And doctors don't realize it, and they just sort of change medication. Yeah, this woman was taking Prozac. So I write about that, and then about insomnia, there was another case here where a gentleman was put on Prozac for his insomnia, and he committed suicide. Whereas magnesium can be the best treatment for insomnia, and it's very beneficial for anxiety. So we've got this multi-billion-dollar industry, multi-billion, and a quote in the Epoch Times is from a researcher who says at least half the folks who are being treated with antidepressants aren't benefiting from the pharmacological effects of the drugs themselves, but from a placebo effect. Now that's very scary. Actually, they stopped comparing a lot of drugs to placebo in drug trials because placebos were working better for people than the drugs. And here's what the FDA is doing about it. Instead of looking for safe alternatives like magnesium, B vitamins, vitamin D, omega-3s, they FDA issued warning labels on these antidepressants. They asked the makers to add or strengthen suicide-related warnings on their labels, as well as the possibility of worsening depression. Lord, suffering cats, I say. How can the nearly invisible warning on a pill bottle label help patients? It's only meant to exempt the drug company from liability. They will say, well, we had a warning label about death and destruction that comes with taking our pills. It's not our fault. And then I say, seriously, are aliens running this world? And I think they are. So what do I recommend? I've already mentioned it. Magnesium, B vitamins, vitamin D, omega-3 fatty acids are the best starting point. Don't forget a sugar-free diet, avoiding processed foods, checking for yeast overgrowth, because these can produce yeast toxins that have a negative effect on the brain. So there you go, Ginny. But then, we can't get anywhere with supplements because here's a clickbait article. Gosh, where did I see this? It might have been on, Medscape. They're quoting doctors. They said, here are 12 supplements you should never take together, medical experts say. They say they can cancel each other out or even cause serious interactions. Now they can't and they don't. And what they've done is, I mean, it's all kind of myths in a sense that they're talking about, because when I talk about the calcium and magnesium myth that, oh, you shouldn't take them together, I say, well, what about all the vegetables that have all these minerals in the vegetable, and people eat them and they feel better? So that to me blows this idea that minerals especially can interact in a negative way with each other. Now, zinc and copper, they will, if you take high dose zinc, it will lower your copper. And that's why when I make a zinc, I put copper in with the zinc. So yeah, there's so much anti-supplement articles now, or the focus is on trying to get people so scared that when the next epidemic comes along, they'll just wait for the vaccine again and not take supplements because they're so dangerous. Yes. So I'll stop for a minute now, Ginny. Take a drink of my mineral water and you can tell me if there are any questions.
Okay, very good. let's see, Bianca definitely did some very interesting dark warning emoticons on our chat line. I just got an eyeful of that. I'm like, wow, Bianca, that's cool. Deb Valeri, just following up from the pancreatic enzyme question, says she does take ACL thorn pancreatic enzymes and they're still low. And she says she takes bile salts because she doesn't have a gallbladder.
Oh,
So
okay. Yeah.
I think probably, one of the things that we know, Deb, and Carolyn's in the process of doing a video series on it, is that magnesium is required for over, 1,300 enzymatic functions. Or how many enzymes, Carolyn?
I say it's 1,000.
1,000 enzyme functions in the body. So chances are, and I know you've been with us for a while as a customer, but how long will it take for the body to really work with all those enzymes? So I would definitely just double secret check your dosing of magnesium, even if you could add another little quarter teaspoon, that might be very beneficial to hit those enzyme functions, especially since you know that you are low in your pancreatic enzymes, because ultimately, magnesium has the potential to revive your entire enzymatic flow in your whole body. And, to Carolyn's point about what she was saying earlier, because we both used to take Zypan, and I don't think either one of us takes it anymore. So there comes a time when magnesium will probably take over in terms of your enzyme productivity. So just stick with it and be encouraged by that.
And the thing with symptoms, I'm sorry for all these bings. It's your husband is sending me ch chats. So
Oh, my husband. Oh, well, I'll tell him to stop.
And I send Ginny and Greg terrible memes, and then we go back and forth laughing at them for a little while. Now, the thing with digestion, though, is okay, you're doing physical things for it. You're taking enzymes, hydrochloric acid. Maybe you could take a little apple cider vinegar. But is there a conflict? Is there some total biology you could look at? Is there something you can't quite stomach? Is something catching in your craw? It does somebody or something make you just want to puke? All those expressions that we have for when somebody's bugging us or something is bugging us, I can't stomach this or that. You do have to look at what's going on there. And the other thing is, personally, I found that if I cut back on the size of my meals, it didn't require enzymes. So that's a possibility too. And that happened naturally when I had all my formulas. I wasn't as hungry because I wasn't trying to get my nutrients from my food. So you could cut back on the size of your meals and then just determine is it digestive problems? Is there a heartburn? Is it feeling bloated? Could that be related to yeast overgrowth? And could taking our FloraRevive and Pico Silver be what you're looking for? Because actually, Jenny, when I'm saying this right now, I think maybe that's when my stomach settled down, is when I finally put together the FloraRevive formula for yeast overgrowth. So there's more to look at in terms of digestive problems than, and I know you have a test that says, oh, I'm low in this. And that may or may not be relevant. They've done many studies of people who they'll have 100 people, they'll do x-rays. And I remember this one study, and so many people had defects in their spine that if you went to your doctor with a pain and you did an x-ray, they'd say, oh, there's a defect, that's the cause. Whereas most of these people with the defects in this study did not have any pain. So you have to look at it through that lens as well. Are the tests accurate? So I'll leave it at that. Okay, Jenny?
Very good.
Shall I press on?
Yes, please press on. Yes, please. 10 minutes to the top of the hour.
Okay. This is a Mercola article, and the title of the article is Are You Drinking GMO Yeast Milk? So, what's going on here is that synthetic dairy products, including milk made from genetically engineered yeast, are being touted as environmentally friendly health foods that should replace real milk from real cows, along with missing important micronutrients that are abundant in real milk from real cows. Fake milk contains 92 compounds that have never before existed in the human diet or been tested for safety by the FDA. So there's another thing we're up against. Now, I'm not saying that real milk is healthy. I certainly would say that milk that has not been pasteurized and all the rest of it, the real milk from like our Amish farmer friends, that would be healthy. But I do believe that past weaning, children get their mother's milk. I mean, that's good. And if they have to get some other milk, if their mother doesn't have milk, I would go for like goat's milk, for example. But that's getting a little too detailed. But if dairy products are going to go through this genetic engineering, you do have to start looking at labels. So is that milk being turned into cheese products and other dairy products, and you don't even know that it's not real milk. So pay attention. I have a death by vaccines title here. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, ha ha, CDC have released the updated immunization schedule for 2024. It includes new recommendations regarding respiratory syncytial virus, COVID-19, pneumococcal, and monkeypox shots, as well as updates to the recommended list for pregnant women. The new schedule ultimately means that children aged 0 to 18 will likely receive at minimum 76 doses of 18 different vaccines. By contrast, in 1983, the CDC recommended 11 doses of 4 different vaccines. So it's gone from 11 to 76. So that should tell you something. A Death by Modern Medicine article. So this title is Planning to Stop That Benzodiazepine, Think Twice. So basically, this paper says that patients who discontinued long-term benzos had a higher risk of death. The FDA is developing an evidence-based clinical practice guideline for the safe tapering of benzos. So what, they waited, what, 40, 50 years to give us this? However, no studies have looked at the risks of discontinuation. It's unbelievable. So this just reinforces that probably doctors should just leave patients on benzos long term, since the consequences of stopping are worse than continuing it. Let's go happy here. Laughter is the best medicine. People with diabetes who have a positive sense of humor appear to have better diabetes control, according to a series of studies that also show patients can be successfully taught to have a more positive and lighthearted approach. So, laughter is the best medicine again. But then we come to death by Ozempic.
What a seesaw ride we're on tonight with Dr. Dean, everybody. Hang on.
Hang on, here we go. So, what's this study saying? Oh, Ozempic has mind-body benefits. People taking a popular type of drug for weight loss or to manage diabetes have a lower likelihood of being newly diagnosed with depression or anxiety, according to an analysis of millions of people's health records. People on these drugs were between 11% and 65% less likely to be newly diagnosed with depression. Now, I don't know if that, we talk about the statistical business of relative risk and actual risk. So they're probably giving us crappy results right there. But the article goes on, and Ginny, I didn't realize this, but there are one, two, three, four, five, six. There are six, I think maybe seven of these Ozempic type drugs now. Six or seven drug companies have jumped on the bandwagon, and they have their own GLP-1 drug. Yeah. Now, these findings are timely as regulators in the US and Europe are investigating reports of suicidal thoughts among people using these drugs. Oh my goodness. So, see, what I thought, Ginny, about this is if you've been struggling with your weight all these years and you take Ozempic and you use a bunch of pounds, you're going to be happy. So, in the beginning of taking these drugs, we have a happiness factor. And it's only, with taking them over time that you start developing the side effects. So I think that's probably what's happening. They've just massaged the data. Okay, so then there's antibiotics for animals, of course, in Death by Modern Medicine. I've written all about the overuse of antibiotics in both humans and animals. It's in my Appendix B. Many people are aware of this abuse, but did not know that plants, Ginny, plants can pick up antibiotics in the groundwater and manure from antibiotic-fed animals. Yep. So that means plants, feeding animals that then we eat, we're getting antibiotics everywhere. It's scientists at the University of Minnesota reported that routine feeding of antibiotics to livestock may be contaminating the environment. They studied corn, lettuce, and potatoes, which were grown on soil treated with li liquid hog manure containing sulfamethazine, a commonly used veterinary antibiotic. Concentrations of antibiotics were found in the plant leaves of all three crops. So there you go. We're done. We're doomed. Yep. Yep. And they say the antibiotics. So I don't know if this all of a sudden this is happening because we're getting it in plants, but all of a sudden they're starting to tell us, oh, well, we found that these antibiotics are affecting the mitochondria. So there you go. There you go. Seriously, I've been studying this stuff forever. And it wasn't until I read this article about antibiotics affecting plants. And then they say the safe zone for these drugs lasted for only 6 hours. And by day four, human cell mitochondria are malfunctioning. Oh my. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, what that means is they never looked at the mitochondria before. I mean, in our bicycle study out of Colorado that we're still waiting for because it got held up with this stupid quarantine, we're doing mitochondrial testing, investigation, or whatever. It's only of late that mitochondria have been looked at in these researchers' labs. So, what they say is mitochondria are cellular power plants generating most of the body's energy, called ATP. The mitochondria are also taking part in cell signaling, cell differentiation, cell death, and controlling the cell cycle and cell growth. Longer than 4 days, and levels of the body's own antioxidant, glutathione, begin to decline. But what do we know, Ginny? We know magnesium is a necessary factor in ATP production, and magnesium is required for the production of glutathione. And what do the researchers say? They say there are two solutions. One is to go back to bacteriostatic antibiotics that stop bacteria from replicating but don't kill them. And in the process, they don't kill human cells. And the second solution is to use antioxidants to help undo the damage that bacterial antibiotics cause. And of course, I say magnesium, selenium, vitamins A, C, and E are the major supplemental antioxidants. And never is there any talk of using alternatives to antibiotics, such as our picosilver and magnesium. So it just keeps clarifying why the general population is so ill. We're not, because we're taking our formulas and we're being healthy, happy. What is it? Happy, healthy, holy, wealthy, and wise. That's what my dad used to say, the Boy Scout motto was ha healthy, happy, holy, wealthy, and wise. And that's where we are today. Right, Ginny? Right on the dot. Right on
100%.
100%.
That's right. Look at that, Dr. Dean. Very
Woohoo!
good. Very good. Yeah. We're doing great and we want more people to do great with us. So be sure to bring a friend. As Melody Rose always says, she's got all kinds of little tricks in her grab bag, gifts and things for all the new people. Patty Sass is just joining us from Nebraska. Welcome, Patty. And we're excited to have everybody here, all those who are listening throughout the week. If you didn't hear a question answered that you needed an answer for on this show, be sure to email questions, QUESTIONS, at drcarolindean.com. And Melody Rose or one of the staff will answer it for you. And we will be right back here next Monday night, won't we, Caroline?
Of course we will. We love being here. So
We do.
thank you, everybody. Mahalo and happy, holy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's our motto. And keep taking your formulas. Take more of your formulas. Tell everybody to take your formulas. That's my advice.
Excellent. Thank you. Perfectly said. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
You have been listening to Dr. Carolyn Dean, the Doctor of the Future. Become a member of drcarolyndean.com and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.